It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined now by Luke Rosiak, Washington Times reporter, who has a front-page story, actually the first of three parts, entitled Metro Derailed by Culture of Complacence, Incompetence, Lack of Diversity. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Andy.
Who knew? This story, to me, is appalling, among other words I could use. 3,000 drivers and only 6 white women?
Mm-hmm.
This is Metro and its employment practices that we're discovering?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Where's the breakdown?
I don't really know how it came to be that way, but it does seem like something is going on in hiring at Metro where, you know, beyond the issue of the total absence of females and Hispanics and whites, you know, they're also not rewarding hard workers, because a lot of people of all races and genders are telling us that when they work hard at Metro, they're actually punished for that, because anywhere you look, something is broken at Metro.
Huh.
And if you're a diligent worker, you're going to see that and say something has to be done. And the people around you are going to say, oh, now we have to fix that, and they're going to punish you. So people are very afraid of being good workers at Metro because they fear fallout.
All right. Now, where is the breakdown? Have we determined? Is it way up the line, or is it lower management? There's got to be some point at which all of this falls apart when you're being hired.
It's hard to say. I'm going to try to look into the hiring in a story that's going to come out in tomorrow's paper, and they take these tests, and 4 out of 5 people fail the tests. In fact, out of every 1,000 people that apply to Metro, only 30 make the cut. And I haven't been able to figure out why these 970 are excluded, because the 30 that make the cut, they certainly don't seem to be the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that the 970 that are excluded are that much worse, in fact.
Yeah.
But they're a very secretive organization. They won't tell you how it comes to be, but for whatever reason, you get in on the ground floor at Metro, and you're in the union, and you rise through the ranks, and then you're promoted to manager, and the guy that's overseeing you is, in fact, one of the sloppier workers who was a low-level worker just months before. So when your boss is someone that is probably less competent than you, there's really no incentive. There's no one providing oversight. So when you see the way that people are promoted in Metro, it gives you a pretty good understanding of how it is that when you walk into a station and you see the low-level guy who's asleep in the kiosk, of course he is. His boss is doing the same thing.
All right. Now, this also creates an environment that is ripe for lawsuits, and I'm assuming that's what you guys have also looked into, right?
There's been a whole bunch of lawsuits from white women. Most of them have been unsuccessful for various reasons. A couple have been successful. And the union defends people. Basically, white women, they haven't been able to get too much protection from the union, so they've gone through legal mechanisms. But many workers who are disciplined for a variety of things, the union sure fights to the death for them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a worker who killed people driving a bus, and he was reinstated. And, you know, you go through the list. The union took down their newsletters after we inquired, but we have copies of them, and we've put them all online. And you can go online to WashingtonTimes.com and look at these union newsletters, and they give you a rundown of what the union calls wins, having people who were fired and then they were reinstated. And you run any of these people's names through criminal records, and a lot of them have criminal records already. So they've been disciplined at Metro, but this isn't a one-time thing. I mean, these are people who have there have been red flags left and right, and there doesn't seem to be anyone paying attention to these red flags anywhere at Metro.
Nepotism?
People say there's a lot of nepotism at Metro in terms of direct familial relations. There's a lot of couples as well. In fact, the union president is married to the union vice president.
Okay.
And they're neighbors too. The majority of Metro workers live in Prince George's County. In fact, very few of them live in the district.
Mm-hmm.
They're neighbors and they're friends, and oftentimes they're actually relatives.
This story just continues to baffle me, because I believe I read where there's no recourse for employees because the civil rights division or office consists of all black employees, right? So there's no diversity there.
Right. Not that that means they couldn't get a fair shake, but
right.
But that's what I'm hearing, is that people haven't been satisfied with the outcomes. It's interesting because it seems like a pretty large civil rights union, 17 full civil rights office, 17 full-time employees dedicated to hearing claims of discrimination and things like that.
Yeah.
It is a big organization, about 10,000 people, but 17 full-time employees is a lot.
Yeah.
And every single one of them is black. There's no Hispanics, no Asians, no whites. You know, the other thing that I've heard about that is that seems like one of those jobs where you're motivated by a higher calling and, you know, you get to pursue these lofty ideals that you care about and work very hard. That's not the case at Metro. I've heard multiple times that the civil rights office is the epitome of the 9-to-5 bureaucrat. And it doesn't matter how much work they have to do. At 5 p.m., they're walking out of there.
Huh.
So it was disappointing to see that, you know, it's kind of something that we heard in many offices at Metro, but particularly this one, where they're doing the bare minimum, but they're not particularly motivated to do a good job.
Indication that lots of good people have left out of frustration?
That's exactly what people encounter. And in the story, one example that I heard was, you think of kids and how they like these toy trains, and there are people that, you know, they're excited to be, you know, as this woman said, a big boy with a big train.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in with this enthusiasm. But then you have this boss who's writing you up if you're diligent and you're trying to change things up. Basically, if you look at the NTSB recommendations that Metro is being given year after year, they're the same directives that they've got back in 1982. The NTSB has been telling Metro to computerize its training system since 1982. And if you look at it, and it still hasn't done it. So the problems that Metro has faced, they're the exact same ones that have been going on for decades. And there's this stagnation. There's this this institutional tendency to avoid change at all costs. And when you come in there fresh-faced and bushy-tailed and you're excited and you want to do your job and,
yeah,
and do things to the best of your ability, that gets beaten down real quick. And people, you know, sometimes they become sort of ingratiated into this culture, and they become part of Metro culture, and they become willing to do the bare minimum, and others can't take it, and they leave in disgust.
Hmm. Fascinating story, really eye-opening story by Luke Rosiak. Check it out in today's Washington Times. You can't miss it. Front page, Metro derailed by culture of complacence, incompetence, and lack of diversity. Luke, I look forward to the second part of the story. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Andy.
5:43, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.